Zion Kisley, Rabbi Matis Yohu Lawrence, Series Dinim for Drivers, Part 404, More Shilas in Choshen Mishpot.
Good morning. We mentioned in the last year, at the time it was mentioned just as an illustration of how important Choshen Mishpot is on a general daily basis. We mentioned a story which, from the feedback I got afterward, people were interested in finding out a little bit more about what the halacha is in that particular case. And the story was, if you remember, that a person who decided that he wanted to go into a shul and daven mincha one day, and he parked his car outside, and when he came out after having davened mincha, so he found that he'd been blocked in by a number of taxis, and they were stopping him from driving off. And he didn't know what to do, so he went into the taxi office, and he said to the people there, the taxi drivers were sitting there, sitting around, eating, reading the newspaper, "I'd like to move my car, please, you blocked me in." And by the way, he wasn't parked on a taxi rank, he was just parked in the street, and it was a place where the taxis used to park themselves, but not an official taxi rank. And he said to them, "Please, will you move your taxis? I need to get out." "No, under no circumstances, we're not moving. It's lunchtime, it's dinner time, we're not moving now. 2 o'clock, it's the end of lunchtime, we'll move." So he didn't know what to do. So he goes out from the taxi office, goes around the corner to the public payphone, as we mentioned, it was a time before mobile phones, and he phones up that very taxi company, and pretends to be somebody else. He orders a taxi to a certain location in town. Let's go to the other side of town, and fine, puts the phone down, he picks the phone up again, dials again, pretends to be somebody else. He orders a taxi from this very taxi firm to go to the other side of town somewhere, and eventually he does it again and again and again, and all 10 taxis have been cleared, they've all gone off to the other side of the town, and he's free to go. So the shaila is, then he came afterwards, it's not our shaila, he came afterwards to the Rav. As far as I understand, this was Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein and Ertz Yisrael and B'nai Brak. He always has these interesting shailas. And they came to him and asked him, "Have I done the right thing? On the one hand, they were blocking me in, preventing me from driving, that wasn't fair. I was doing nothing wrong by having parked my car there. And I needed to get out. On the other hand, I've caused 5-10 taxis, wasted jobs, wasted time. They've gone to the other locations of town. There's nothing going on. There's no job. There's no money. Have I done the right thing or not?" So I want to stress very clearly that it is not a shi'in in halacha l'maisa. We're just using the story to illustrate some concepts in Choshen Mishpot. Nobody should go away making any halachic conclusions from this story whatsoever. It's just we're just using it to bring out some points within halacha itself. So let's try and break down the shaila to its essence. What has this driver actually done? What has the driver done? This person over here, what has he done? So he's phoned up the taxi company. He's given an instruction. In other words, "I need a taxi in place X, place Y, place Z." Upon which other people have acted, the taxi drivers. They have acted in good faith, thinking they were going to profit from this instruction. They're thinking they're going to get a job and earn some money from it. And in practice, as a result of this man's speech or his action, his telephone call, but we're going to concentrate on the fact his speech, his dibur in halacha, they have lost out as a result. He's caused them a loss through his dibur. So the shaila is he responsible? Are you responsible for causing somebody a loss through your dibur? Yeah, you haven't taken a brick and thrown it through their window. Yeah. Everyone would understand that is called Adam Hamazik, Mazik by your dying. You throw a brick through someone's window, everyone would understand that's called being Mazik something. But is this considered to be a hezek, something, a loss that he can be claimed against for performing? Now, we are familiar with the concept of mazik, a person breaks somebody's window, someone breaks somebody's car, that's called being a mazik. We're also familiar with the concept of groma. Groma, I'm not going to define it exactly because it's difficult to define, but a groma is a much more indirect cause of damage. You bring about a certain circumstances, perhaps by not doing anything, or by being negligent or something, and thereby somebody suffers a loss. Okay, I'm not going to define it deliberately because it's very unclear exactly what a groma is, but it's a much more indirect form of causing damage. And the halacha is, groma you are potter for. Now, sometimes it means potter, you can't claim against somebody in a Beis Din. If they've done a groma, they've done something wrong, you're not allowed to do a groma, they can't do hezek by groma, but it's not the other person, the victim, cannot claim in a Beis Din. Sometimes, but it means the chayv b'dei shomayim. They've done something which is wrong b'dei shomayim. Just that in a Beis Din you cannot be mechayv. Sometimes potter means that you can't, they're completely potter. So that's a big sugya. There is, however, another concept which lies somewhere in between mazik b'yodayim, physical, causing physical damage, and groma. And this is a concept which is called garmi. Okay, it sounds like groma, but it's a bit different. Garmi. And again, it's a very big sugya, and we're not going to do it on regal achas. The Ramban wrote a whole sefer called Dinah de Garmi. And in the Gemara, we find many places this concept of Dinah de Garmi, which is it lies somewhere in between. It's not as active damage, like breaking a window or such, but it's not as indirect as groma. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara, what is the halacha when it comes to garmi? That's just the background. Now, the Gemara in Vav Metziah, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara talks about somebody who hired a worker to go and do a job. The Gemara says that if either side was choizer, they retracted and decided that they don't want to workers to do the work anymore, or the workers don't want to do the work anymore, there is no financial claim, only ka'aromes, which is a kind of a grievance, etc. You're entitled to have a grievance because the person has cancelled the job. But there isn't a financial claim. But the Gemara says, that's only if the workers didn't go to the job. In other words, you retracted before they've actually gone on site. But if the workers went on site and then they found there's no job to do, for example, the Gemara brings a case where you hired workers to plough a field or to work a field, and they got to the field and they found that the field was either totally unsuitable for doing that work, and therefore there's no work for them to do, so obviously they're not going to get paid. What is the halacha? The halacha is you have to pay them. You have to pay them because you contracted them to do a job, they've gone to the actual place itself, and now they found out that there's nothing for them to do. So that when they've gone to the actual place itself, the Gemara says you have to pay them. And there's a discussion in the Gemara how much you have to pay them. And the maskona of the Gemara is kopayel botel, how much a worker would want to receive, how much money a worker would want to receive for doing nothing. Okay, kopayel botel. Which is a whole sugi b'fnei atzmo, how you define that. We're not going to go into the amounts. So the Gemara says over there, it depends on whether they've actually gone to the job or not. If they've gone to the job already, then the person who hired them to do the job is chayev to pay them. If they got there and found that there's no job for them to do. On the basis of this Gemara, the Rosh in Tshuvas HaRosh paskens the following things. Tshuvas HaRosh, Simon Kuf Dalet, Klal Kuf Dalet. A person decided that he wanted to have a certain item, a kli, a utensil manufactured. So he went to an woman, an artisan, a skilled professional person, to make this item for him. He instructed him, said to him, will you please make this thing for me tonight? And tomorrow, obviously, I'll come back and pick it up from you and pay you. The next day, he hadn't come yet, the woman turned up at his door. The artisan, the manufacturer, turned up at his door and he said, look, please take your work. If you don't take it now, you're going to lose. Maybe I've got no storage or something, I've got nowhere to put it. Take it now. And obviously, it doesn't say that he demanded payment, but obviously he was demanding payment for what he wanted. And the Balabai, the person who had instructed him to make this thing, turned around and said, no, I've already bought what I need somewhere else. In the meantime, while you're busy making this thing, I've gone and bought the thing somewhere else. And okay, not a very nice thing to do. But the shaila is he chayev to pay? Is he actually chayev to pay? So the Rosh paskens there, yes, he is chayev to pay. He's chayev to pay kol hefsedo, any hefsed, any loss which this woman is now going to suffer as a result, because he's put time and money and effort into creating this thing, and therefore he's going to lose now because you're not taking delivery of the item, and therefore you have to pay him kol hefsedo, all his loss. Okay, so again, you have instructed him to do something, and you've caused him a loss. Okay, you haven't broken his window, you haven't thrown a brick through his window, I'm just using that as a classic case of mazik, you haven't caused him a loss in that way, but you've caused him a loss by instructing him something, he relied on your instruction, and now he's suffered a loss. And the Rosh Paskin is chayev midina de garmi. Midina de garmi. Right? So this din dagami is when you cause a direct loss, not through physical action, but through your dibur over here. So there's other forms of din dagami.
To make an object.
Sorry?
Not causing. He actually said, make me this.
Right.
Despite I was making me this.
Yeah, but he hasn't done physical damage.
Okay? See, that's build me this wall. He built it.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. So you've caused him a loss now because he's not going to get paid. He's not going to get paid for his job.
5 hours labour. Yeah.
That's right. So that's a loss.
It's not a cause. It's not a cause. It's physical. You say to an opposite.
It's not a physical. You haven't.
It's not. No,
that's what I'm saying. It's not as in there. That's why it's not a grammar. That's why it's garmi. Okay. Well, you'll see. As I bring more illustrations, you'll see what the point I'm bringing up. Okay. So the Rosh says over here is chayev midina de garmi ali de diburoi hefsidoi. Through his dibul, he has been mastered him. He's caused him a physical loss. He's caused him a financial loss. And this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Simon in Shachay Shemishpat, Simon Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Ches. Now the Sma, which is one of the Mefoshim on the Shulchan Aruch, that points out that he is Medayik, he derives from the wording of the Rosh, that the Uman has a duty to mitigate his loss over here. The Uman over here, the artisan, the professional person, can't just say, it's cost me 5 hours labour and materials, and now the guy's not paying me, I'm going to claim that full amount in the Beis Din. He can't do it. He has to try and mitigate his loss, which means try and sell that item to somebody else. You might get less money for it, but you have to mitigate your loss and try and get what you can out of it. And then the difference is what the other guy has to pay you. Right? Because where is he medayik it from? Because the Rosh said, you have to pay him kol hefsedo, what his loss is. So he's medayik from there. It's not quite clear exactly the deal, but he's medayik from there, all his loss. So he has to try and mitigate his loss. And once he's mitigated his loss, whatever the difference is what the Uman has to pay. But the other person has to pay. So we see from here that through your dibur, you caused him to rely upon what your instruction was, and he suffered a loss as a result. You have to pay for it. There's a similar halacha. The Sma itself brings down a simad lamad test of cotton mem vov. Somebody wanted to take out a loan from somebody else, a malva and a loiva. The loiva wanted to borrow money from the malva. The malva said, "Fine, I'll lend you money, but you go and see to the drawing up of the shtar of the documents. You go and hire a sofer. They didn't have printed documents. Go and hire a sofer. Materials cost money. The parchment." You go and do that, and once you've sorted that out, I'll lend you the money. So the loiva did that, he went away, he came back to the malva, and the malva said, "So I'm not lending you money anymore, I've changed my mind." So in the meantime, the loiva has had expenses. He's gone, he's hired a sofer, because he thought he was going to get a loan out of this. He's paid money perhaps for the paper, for the parchment, and now there's no loan anymore, so he suffered a loss. Who caused him that loss? The malva, because the malva said, I'll lend you the money, go and incur these expenses, and now he's incurred these expenses as a result of his dibur, of what the instruction was, and what happened? He lost. So the Sma paskind that the lender, he's not the lender now because he decided not to lend, but the person who was meant to be the lender, the malva, is obligated to pay the costs that the other party incurred for having drawn up the shtar. Okay, so again, it's a case where through his dibur and the other person's reliance on the dibur, that's why he had to pay. A further makoy. Okay, we're going through many of the cases over here which are brought down in the poskim. Chuvis Rabbi Akiva Eger, Mahadura Kama, the first edition, Simon Lamad Dalad. There was an agreement between two parties in Poland to supply, one party would supply the other party with dried fruits. They were in the business of manufacturing dried fruits, and they said they would provide them, supply dried fruits, and obviously the other party would pay for it. Because there was a distance to travel, so therefore, obviously there's costs incurred in transporting the goods from one place to the other. The suppliers delivered the goods, the dried fruits, to the place where the purchasers, potential purchasers were, and the purchasers, they retracted, and they said, no, we don't want to take it anymore. It doesn't say there why they didn't want to take it. They didn't want to take delivery, and obviously they didn't want to pay. So, they have given an instruction for the suppliers to supply dried fruits. They've gone and incurred expenses of transport, and now they've got a loss because the people don't want to take delivery or pay. What is the halacha? So, Rabbi Akiva Eger paskind, based on that Rosh that we saw just now, about the person who commissioned a keli, a utensil to be manufactured by an woman, and the sma that we saw just now, was said that if you have a malva and a loiva, and the malva says, I'll lend you money, but you go and draw up the shtar, and then he doesn't lend the money, and he incurs a financial loss as a result, based on that, and other factors as well, Rabbi Kiyeva Paskin, that he would be chayev, this company over here, who didn't take delivery, the purchasers, the ones who were meant to be the purchasers of the dried fruits, he was mechayev them, he obligated them to pay the delivery costs for that were incurred for transporting his goods. And he says that clearly, midina de garmi. Again, this concept of dina de garmi, it's a direct hazard that you cause, because through your dibur, you instructed them to deliver it, and now they've suffered a loss. Midina de garmi, you're chayev. Yeah, so we're clear on where we're heading over here? Yeah?
And the dry fruit.
The actual fruit itself, he doesn't actually discuss regarding the fruit itself. He doesn't discuss that point there. He discusses
point.
Yeah. He doesn't go into that point about mitigating the loss. Yeah, he doesn't talk about that. Okay, so that's another source. Another source that we have over here is the Chuvas Chavas Yo'ir. Yeah, who was the Rav of Worms, of Amaisa. And it's in Siman Kuf Samaches. There was a story where Reuben had lent money to somebody, and the person hadn't paid him. He had a chayv. So Reuven took his vineyard, that was the arrangement, as payment for the chayv. In place of the payment for the chayv, he took his vineyard. Problem was, the vineyard was quite far away from where Reuven lived, and he couldn't supervise it himself. So therefore he appointed Shimon, who lived near the vineyard, and he appointed him to look after the field, to plough the field, to reap the field, to do whatever it needs to look after the field. La'avda ul'shamra, as his lashon is over there. And he appointed him to do that. The winter came, it was a very cold winter. And Shimon felt that it was going to be a very difficult time to look after the field, and his expenses were going to be even more than the potential yield of the field itself. Yeah, so he's going to have to put more money into the field than what he was going to get out of it. Obviously, he was getting a commission, but he was going to have to put more money into it than was actually going to be economical. So he retracted and said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm retracting from my agreement over here. So Reuven, the person who now owned this vineyard, is going to suffer a loss, because Shimon assured him that he was going to do the work there and bring him profit to the best of his ability. And now Reuven is going to suffer a loss because Shimon has decided to retract. What is the halacha? So it's more complicated than the shaylos we've dealt with now. So I'm not going to go into the actual psak that he gave there. In the course of that tshuva, the Chavos Yo'ir brings down the Ramah in Siman Yudalet, Choshe Mishpat Siman Yudalet, which is an interesting shayla. Somebody who calls somebody else to a bezdin. You call someone to a bezdin, and the bezdin is in a different place, and it costs money to actually get there. So the defendant went to bezdin, and he went to that place where it was. It cost him money to travel there. But the Teveya, the claimant, never went in the end. He didn't go. So he called someone to a Bezdin, that person went, he went to the Bezdin, incurred costs as a result of being called to Bezdin, but the Teveya never went, so the Din Torah never took place. Yeah? The Ramah says over there that the claimant, the Teveya, has to pay the respondent, the defendant's expenses, because he caused him to go to a Bezdin, to travel to a Bezdin, for no reason, because there's nothing going on. He never went himself. The Teveya never went himself. So the Ramah says that, and that's halacha in Siman Yud Dalet in Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat. Based on that, says the Chavos Yo'ir, he says, I paskin the following halacha, says the Chavos Yo'ir. There was a case where two people made a shidduch together, and they lived in different towns, and cost money to travel from one town to the other. So the Mechutin said, the one who's going to be making the chasna itself, he said to the other side, come to the town where I am, come to my town on a certain date, come on a certain date when the chasna is going to be, and bring your son, whatever it is, come on that date. So the other party confirmed that he will come, said, yep, we're going to come, we'll come to the chasna on that date. Lemaitza, he didn't come. In the meantime, the Mechutin had arranged the chasna, all the expenses, all the things that he had to do, and the costs that were incurred, and the other side didn't come. I don't know why, or what happened afterwards, I'm not sure. But he didn't come. So he'd incurred expenses as a result of the other party's assurance that he was going to come. says the Chavos Yoed, based on this idea of the Ramah, it's the same as the case with the Beis Din. You assure somebody that there's a purpose in them coming to a different town for a Din Torah, they incur expenses and then you never turn up. Here, the same thing as well. You assured me that you're going to come for the Chasna, I incurred expenses and you never came.
He would have made the chasna in any case.
It gets a little bit more complicated, and it also gets into another shaila. There's a Rambam and the Rivers, but because of the constraints of time, we're not going to go into it. Okay, but I'm just bringing out. We're isolating the points there which are nageya to our discussion. You cause somebody else a financial loss. You cause somebody else a financial loss through your dibur. You can be chayev mishum dina digarmi. So we see from all these cases, it would seem to be, in our case, jumping back to our case over here, the driver gave an assurance to the taxi drivers that they would have jobs in place A, in place B, in place C around town, because he ordered them. So ordering a taxi to a particular place is like giving somebody an assurance that they're going to profit from something. And then you cancelled, or you never went, or you never, there was no job whatsoever at all. It would seem from that that there is a chiyuv midina degarmi, and even more so, because here there was a certain, I don't know if you call it malice attached, but it's a bit more, the other cases were, the people were attracted, they may have had good reasons, justifications, etc. And yet still, we said there, that you're chayev midina degarmi. Here, the person deliberately knew, he knew right from the start that they're not going to get any jobs out of it. He caused them a big loss to go to the other side of the town. One second, we have to get that. We're just taking it stage by stage, okay? So, that would seem to be the chayev midina degarmi. Now, there's a big but. The but is like this. There's a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. It's a Mishnah there. The Mishnah says, "Hamaniach kad b'rishus harabim." Somebody who places a jug in the rishus harabim. Ubo acher v'niskal bo. Somebody else came along and he tripped over it and broke the jug. The Mishnah says, "Shavrahi," and he broke it. Potter. The Mishnah says that the person who broke the jug is potter. So the Gemara asks the question over there. And it says, why are you potter? You should have looked where you're going. Yeah, you're walking in the street and there's a jug there. You should look where you're going. So there's various answers that are given in the Gemara there. One of the answers, which is given in the name of Rav, Rav says over there, we're talking about a very specific case over here. We're talking about when the person who put the jug down filled up the whole street with jugs from one side to the other. Jug, right across the street. So he blocked this person's path, or blocked anybody's path from getting through the road, right? So there's jugs there blocking the path. Says Rav, because he blocked the path there, you cannot say, well, the person who tripped on it and broke it should have looked where he was going. Even if he did look where he was going, where he didn't have a choice where to go. He blocked you illegally blocked the pathway of the road. But you have the right to go. It's a public road. Somebody else doesn't have the right to put things in the road. How do you know? So one second, we'll get there. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in Cheshem Mishpat, it's called Rischa Doraisa. We have to get into it, right? Right? Choshe Mishpat, Tof Yud Beis, Sif Beis, Paskins this halacha, and it says, Ve'im Mile Kol HaDerech Kadim, if the person filled up the whole derech, presumably the width of the derech, with kadim, with jugs, or whatever it is for that matter, She'i'ev Shalavoy, and it's impossible for the other person to get by, Afidu Shavroi Biyodayim, Potter. So then even if the person broke it, but you're dying, he picked up the jugs and smashed them to get through, he's potter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay? So he's potter because... He's potter. Now, one second. It doesn't say he was allowed to break the jugs. It says if he broke the jugs, then he's potter. Okay? The Aruch HaShulchan there says, and I didn't find anybody else who says this explicitly, he says the following words, V'loy oid. Hello, Afina Shavri Biyodayim Potter, same as the Shulchan Aruch. Not only if he actually broke the Biyodayim, he's Potter. Be'iyach Shalavoy, when it's impossible to get through. V'yesh lo rishus la'asos kein, says the Aruch HaShulchan. He has permission to do that. I didn't find anybody else say it. I found one other source which implies the same idea, that he has permission to actually do it, to break the Kadim. And therefore, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, at least, the way it seems to be stated over there, he would have had the right to break his way through. Because this person never had the right to fill up the road with Kadim blocking the public access over here. So, according to this, it would seem that you do have a certain amount of right, at least according to the Halacha Shulchan, and I stress again, this is not Halacha L'maisa, I'm not saying Halacha L'maisa here, I'm saying what we see in some of the Poskim. You do have a right. If somebody blocks the road that you had the right to go through, you have perhaps a right of some kind to actually get your way out. So I'm not saying over here he should have broken the taxi that were actually parked there. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm saying is that sometimes you do have a right, yeah, and to perhaps cause somebody a loss if they're causing you a loss illegally. Okay, again, it's not halacha l'maisa. I'm just saying what you see from there. So applying that to our case again, let's just see it through. We have the bulk of opinions that we saw over here, that when you cause somebody a financial loss by your dibur, it comes under the halachic category of dina de garamin, which you're obligated to pay. So over here, what did the person do? He actually spoke, he gave an instruction for the taxis to go, and as a result of that, they suffered a financial loss. It would seem from all those cases that we brought, that would be chayiv to pay. However, we do see there is a certain concept, and that's as far as we're going to go and we'll say here, there's a certain concept. If somebody illegally blocks you in and prevents your right of way from going somewhere, you do have certain rights to get yourself out of that situation. So I leave it with you to think about it, and discuss it more, and perhaps we'll have further thoughts on this another time.